Well, I must say it wasn't difficult to think of what passage of Scripture to preach on today at Phoebe's baptism. Because the moment Matt and Jess sent word through of her safe arrival and what they'd named her, I went straight to the relevant passage in the Word of God to remind myself of what's said about Phoebe in the Bible. And here it is in the verses we just read from Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. And as we consider these verses this morning, I do want to clarify that as we do so, I will not always be thinking and referring to little Phoebe Sampson as we do. I want that to be clear. It's Phoebe of Romans 16 we're primarily thinking about. Nonetheless, there will be significant overflow and application to our Phoebe today. And I do hope and pray at the very least that this text will be memorable to Phoebe's parents and family circle, indeed the whole congregation. These verses come very near the end of the majestic book of Romans. And this final chapter opens, as was the custom in those days, with the greetings to Paul's intended audience. Paul is extending greetings to the various Christians in Rome who were known to him personally. So we're getting a glimpse into the church at Rome with these words. Name after name. In fact, 33 names in this chapter, many of them very, very difficult to pronounce. Thankfully, Phoebe is simple enough. Not only is she mentioned first, but she's the only person listed here in the opening 16 verses who wasn't from Rome. She didn't live in Rome. She was a member of a church about 1,000 miles away. She was a member of the church of Cenchrea. And I want to show you on the map how far this is away from Rome. If we can have it up if we're going. There we go. Cenchrea. So if you can see, Cenchrea is about here, very close, about 8 miles away from the city of Corinth. And Rome, top left of the corner, about 1,000 miles between the two. And Phoebe seems to be the one who is entrusted with this letter, to carry the letter from Cenchrea all the way to Rome. You didn't have Royal Mail. You didn't have Amazon Prime delivery. You had to figure out a person to carry your designated post or parcel to the place. And it does seem that Phoebe is the one entrusted with this marvelous responsibility, this precious letter that has had so much influence over the years. And it's Phoebe who carries it to Rome. And Paul seems to be conscious that she's arriving in Rome as a complete stranger. And so here he is in these two verses, taking the time to introduce her, introducing Phoebe to the church in Rome. And that's our theme in these verses. And I want to mention two things by way of outline. Firstly, Paul's commendation of Phoebe. Paul's commendation of Phoebe. As you can imagine, traveling in the days of Paul was nothing like traveling today. In those days, the few overnight inns that would have existed were usually brothels. The only safe place to stay was with a friend or a friend of a friend. So consequently, people were given letters of commendation by their friends to show to their contacts on the way, to verify who they were, to sort of give their credentials, as it were. You can imagine how important this would have been in Christian circles. Just think of the damage of an imposter or a fraudster or a spy infiltrating a Christian home. And this letter then would have proved Phoebe's profession. It would have underlined her standing, especially with a significant errand like this. And so that might explain why so many commentators think Phoebe is carrying this letter. The very fact Paul thinks it's necessary to commend her suggests she's on an important errand. And he gives a glowing commendation. There are three ways Paul commends this woman. He describes her firstly as our sister. Verse 1, I commend to you our sister, Phoebe. That means that she was a Christian. She was a child of God. She had been brought into the family of God. Paul describes her, our sister. And that's all the more significant when you consider her name, Phoebe, in all probability suggesting she was from an unbelieving home, a Gentile home. It's a name that originally derives from pagan mythology, meaning radiant or bright. It's likely she'd been brought up in a pagan home, but she's been wonderfully converted. And Paul makes it clear, she's one of us now. She's a Christian. She's in the family. She's our sister. He loves using this kind of language in Romans. In the 16 chapters, he uses brother-sister terminology 22 times. Bear in mind, he had never visited this church before. He had never visited this church in Rome, as far as we know. And yet, because of their union in Christ, they're part of the family. He counts them as brothers and sisters. That's surely one of the most wonderful things about being a Christian, isn't it? That we belong to one family of God. We have many brothers and sisters in Christ, millions of them living throughout the world. And we have one Heavenly Father. A number of you visiting this morning, you should know, if you're a child of God, you come here as our brother, our sister in the Lord. Phoebe, she's commended as our sister. And then she's also commended, he describes her as a servant of the church at Synchrea, a servant of the church. In other words, she was an active member of the assembly of believers that met in that city close to Corinth. Literally, the word here is deacon. So you could say Phoebe was a deacon or deaconess of the church. And that, of course, raises the question, why don't we have female deacons today? And it's a legitimate question, and good Bible-believing Christians come down on either side of it. But just because the word deacon is used in the Greek here doesn't necessarily mean this is a slam-dunk case for women deacons. Because this word, deacon or servant, as it's translated here, it does seem to be the standard role, that the title that's given for every Christian in the New Testament. In 1 Peter 4:10, when we're called to serve one another, the word there is deacon. We're called to be deacons to each other. Deacons with a small d, if you like. And that seems to be what's in Paul's mind here. In the previous chapter, he's been using this word. 15:31, he describes his own work as service, literally, the word deacon used. In 15 verse 8, he describes Jesus as a servant, literally the word deacon used. So it's a word that does seem to be used in a general sense. And in the scriptures, when it's used in an official, ordained leadership capacity, we don't see it given to women, but rather men. Acts 6:3, pick out from among you seven men. Now, saying all that, it is abundantly clear that the scriptures, and Paul in particular, they are not anti-woman. They are not anti-woman. This chapter alone shows us. Paul, he's commending a woman to the church. It's not the last time he does so in this chapter, nor even the New Testament. He's expressing his profound appreciation for the ministry of women in the life of the local congregation. He's commending Phoebe as a servant of the church. So I think I need at this point to commend the many women in our congregation who, without whom we would not be able to function as a church, to be quite honest. Are we not blessed with many Phoebes in Uitenhage Reformed Presbyterian? Women who are serving in many different and varied ways, servants of the church. This passage tells us women like that are to be commended. We thank God for giving us many Phoebes. So he commends her as a servant of the church. And then a third way he commends her, he describes her as being a great helper. Verse 2, he describes her as a great helper. She has been a patron of many and of myself as well. That word patron effectively means helper. And it may indicate she was a wealthy woman. Maybe she was a woman of some means financially, and she used that to help and support the local church. She used it to help and support Paul in his ministry. She had a concern, in other words, for the work of the kingdom and the broad work of the kingdom. She supported Paul in taking the gospel to unreached lands, and she gladly invested her resources in him. She's a wonderful example. Of course, you don't need to have lots of money to be a Phoebe like this, to help others. You could help people with your time or your prayers or your encouragement or your interest or your practical advice, your practical support. Here's a woman who's thanked for being a great helper, a supporter. And Paul commends her to the church at Rome. She's a sister, she's a servant, she's a helper. Doesn't it show us, if we step back a bit, doesn't it show us the importance of people to the Apostle Paul? Here he is, the great apostle, a trailblazer in mission evangelism. He was a pioneer pastor and church planter. And he takes up a whole chapter of this theological masterpiece, and he thanks a whole bunch of people, including Phoebe. Surely that attitude ought to be in every congregation, shouldn't it? When was the last time you encouraged someone or thanked someone or expressed appreciation to someone for work done? I'm not speaking personally. You're very, very good at often expressing thanks and appreciation. That's not what I'm getting at to me. Rather, I'm thinking about the last time you encouraged your brothers, your sisters here in the Lord in that way. There's all sorts go on in every congregation from week to week. Some very practical things, some very unobtrusive things. It's all vital. There are people in this church who have been doing something, they've been working away at something for years, perhaps. Faithful service to God in the life of the church. And perhaps it's been years since anybody has gone up to them and said, "Look, we really appreciate what you're doing. We don't take it for granted. We want to thank you. We want to commend you for your faithfulness." Is the same not true in our families? In our marriages? Husbands, when's the last time you expressed genuine, heartfelt appreciation for your wife, to your wife? Wives, likewise, when's the last time you let your husband know how much you appreciate him? Parents, what about our children? Are we always on their case? Are we always disapproving and tutting? Don't be slow to give a word of appreciation, commendation. Children, young people, have you not got so much to thank your parents for? Don't forget, Mother's Day next week. But there's something wrong if we confine all that to one day a year. You know yourself, people like to feel appreciated, don't they? Now, we're not talking false flattery or blowing someone up unnecessarily, but it's nice to know occasionally, isn't it, that people appreciate what you're trying to do. It's been said that commendation is the lubricating oil, the WD-40, which presents nasty squeaks in the machinery. In a church, in a family, in a marriage, if there's no commendation, don't be surprised if you start to hear funny noises. So commendation. Paul shows us the way forward in expressing appreciation to one another. His commendation of Phoebe. So I wonder, who could you encourage? Who could you commend this morning? Paul's commendation. And then secondly, Paul's command regarding Phoebe. His commands regarding Phoebe. He not only tells the church in Rome about this lady, but he tells him to do something for her, to help her in two ways. He says two things. Firstly, welcome her in the Lord, he says. Verse 2, welcome her in the Lord. And maybe he's at pains here to make sure that Phoebe isn't discriminated against because of her Gentile background. Don't sideline her, he's saying. Don't reject her. Don't keep her at arm's length. Don't treat her as an outsider. Don't treat her as merely a fringe person, not really the inner circle. Don't let her feel remotely excluded, he says. Receive her. Welcome her. Again, isn't there a word here for us as a church? We must always be striving to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we are to welcome each other into our hearts, into our homes, around our tables. What was it they muttered about Jesus? This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Are we not thankful he did? We're to be like that, a welcoming, receiving congregation. And are we not so blessed and thankful for new people joining with us in recent months and years into the congregation here? But do you understand, it's not easy. It's not really easy to get integrated into a church family. Some people can sometimes feel that they don't really fully belong, like they're still an outsider. Sometimes even after several years, we're encouraged to receive, welcome one another in the Lord. Welcome the newcomers. Welcome the visitors. Welcome those who have recently come in. Welcome the Phoebes. Notice especially how we're to welcome. Welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. In other words, you don't welcome her like she's just a new neighbor who has moved into your street. You don't welcome her like she's the newcomer in your hockey team or your football team. You don't welcome her like she's just the new person at school. Your welcome should be altogether different than that, better than that. Welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. Christians should welcome and receive each other in a way that's altogether distinct from the world around us. A way the world can't even comprehend, in fact. The local church ought to be the warmest, friendliest, most welcoming community you can find. So speaking of commanding people, I do want to commend you in the way that you welcome and receive each other, and newcomers. But every church has work to do in that regard, don't they? Often it's the sort of thing that's left to just a few people. I would encourage you, don't leave it to the few. Each of us has a responsibility to welcome those who come in. Paul's command, welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. And then also, help her. So the first command, welcome her. The second, help her in whatever she may need. The church in Rome is encouraged to take care of any need that Phoebe might have. Literally, Paul says, stand by her side to help her. I think that's great. Stand by her side to help her. As wonderful as she was, and maybe as wealthy as she was, Phoebe needed help from people. She would need accommodation. She would need food. She would need advice about connections and guidance in the big city of Rome, help with the authorities. And Paul tells the Roman Christians, stand by her side, help her, whatever she needs. And doesn't he instruct us this morning the same? We all need to be helping each other. It means loving one another, standing by one another, standing with one another, helping one another when there's a need. It will mean interacting with one another in such a way to know when someone needs your help. So as you look around this building this morning, those of you who are regulars here, you should be able to find the most supportive, the most helpful, the most loving people in all the world to you. People who pray for you. People who care for you. People who, if you were in trouble, you could go to them for help. And you know they would listen to you. They would care for you. They would help you. They would deal kindly with you. People who would help you with whatever you need. And people who you would help with whatever they would need. If you're visiting with us from another church, I hope you're able to see that in your church fellowship. And perhaps right now you can think in your mind's eye about people in your church family who have helped you with whatever you've needed. People who've stood alongside you to help. Praise God for that. And isn't it our hope and prayer that little Phoebe will know exactly that kind of help and support from her church family here in Newton Arts, that she will know she's loved here and accepted here and supported here and encouraged here. And that when she makes her own profession of faith, we pray that we would warmly welcome her as a sister in the Lord. That's our earnest hope and prayer. And if you're here this morning and if you're not yet a Christian, our prayer is the same for you. That you would find for yourself in a church the most loving, supportive community on the face of the earth. Whether that's here or somewhere else, our prayer is that you would know what it is to be part of the family of God with brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, as I say all this, I'm conscious our church isn't perfect. Far from it. No church is perfect. And you may have been hurt by the church in the past. And perhaps you hear all this talk about welcoming and receiving and helping and supporting. And really, that has just not been your experience. And maybe you're thinking, well, I've never had this kind of help. Nobody stood by me in my trouble. And if that's the case, I'm deeply sorry about that. But if that's the case, let me say, you're not alone. You're not alone. The disciples of Jesus didn't stand with him. They all forsook him and fled. The same happened to Paul here. He wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, Demas has deserted me. He adds, at my first defense, no one came to stand with me, but all deserted me. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. And that's the point, isn't it? Other Christians may fail to help us, but the Lord will never fail us. He's with us always, even to the end of the age. In Christ, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So don't fix your eyes on the church. Don't fix your eyes on Christians. Don't fix your eyes on anything else but him. Fix your eyes on Christ. He's the one who can truly help you with what you need. So what a challenge these two small verses give us. Here's the Apostle Paul, so very concerned that Phoebe would be well received, that she would be loved, that she would be cared for. And he gives a special word of commendation. And he gives the believers in Rome reasons for receiving her and welcoming her. And in doing so, he calls us to extend the very same love and affection to every individual in our church family, right down to the very youngest. I commend to you Phoebe. Welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. Amen.